Again, thank you so much for being here. We missed being here last Sunday, but appreciate Kyle teaching both lessons and also appreciate Roger teaching the class. And certainly don't feel bad about leaving anymore because we've got plenty of people who can take over and do what needs to be done. But, you know, as we're thinking about life, certainly I enjoy so much being with the group here. When I prepare these lessons, you know, of course, never know who's going to be in the audience. When I prepared this, I was hoping that a lot of the younger people would be able to be here. But be mindful of one thing. Roger reminded me I should make this announcement. It'll be online, so hopefully there will be those that if you think it is good enough for them to hear, please have them listen to this, because there's always, in every generation, we want the next generation to do well. I'm appreciative of all the young that are part of this group, and thank you so much for the encouragement that you give. So when we're talking about this and we're thinking about this, certainly we want to know who we are. As we look at someone else, it's easy to see them and all the strengths that they have, but we wonder within ourselves, what do we actually have and what can we actually accomplish? And there are many of us in this audience, well, not so many anymore as compared, but that are looking back at what has happened in our lives versus the little time we might have to look forward. Remind us again, this came from, I wanted to use this quote that David had, was, "Who am I?" David certainly realized where he came from. He certainly realized that he had started out as a shepherd boy, that God had chosen him on the basis of his good heart, his faith, and his trust in God, and his ability to do what God wanted him to do. We had talked about three young people, certainly, in the first lesson, and they started out very young, but they had to mature very quickly because they're put in circumstances where they have to make decisions right away. So how are they going to make those decisions? What are they going to base them on? How do they possibly have that kind of wisdom and understanding at their age? What could possibly have happened in their young years that could have made them what they were? Two of them we follow to fairly old age, and we might miss some time in their life, but we know what happened. And we're only given a brief glimpse of one of them, Esther, as she gets older. And so we talked about Joseph, Daniel, and Esther. Now, when we look at these three, we certainly look at them as starting out very young and then continuing their lives. That's some similarities. Now, this is one that I never had to deal with, but each one of them was good looking. So you might think, well, that's a good thing. You know, that's a good benefit. But what we find is most that are in that situation use that for their benefit and not for the right use. And so it can be a deterrent. It can be a problem in life. And what we find is it says about Joseph in Genesis 39:6, it got him in trouble. Potiphar's wife looked at him, and he was very good looking, and he was certainly someone that she desired. And so what did she do? Well, it is said that he was... And when God says this, I've said this before, God knows how he made us. He knows who's handsome. He knows who's beautiful. He makes us that way, and it's okay. Some of us just don't fall in that category, and it's all right, you know. But Joseph, he's handsome in form and appearance. Daniel, it is said that he was a good-looking young man. They didn't choose, and this is, we might find this sad, but look at what they're choosing them for, to present them to the public. So Daniel was a good-looking young man, and it says he had no blemishes. That could have been a problem. He could have looked at himself and thought himself to be something, not realizing that he was only that way because God created him that way. How about Esther? It says that she was not only beautiful, but also used the term lovely in the same sentence. She was both lovely and beautiful. I mean, I told Roger back there, I try to picture in my mind, it's just virtually impossible to picture, you know, what these three look like. But I can guarantee you one thing. Didn't matter what time they were born in. Didn't matter that we're looking back somewhat almost 4,000 years ago to one of them. Doesn't matter. They were very good-looking people. They could have used that. They could have said, okay, I've got it made now. I'm going to use this to my benefit. Each of them had excuses they could have used. I mean, not reasons, but excuses. They could have said, like Joseph, where's my father? He hasn't even come. Why didn't he come after me? I mean, my brother sold me, and he doesn't even come looking for me. Looks like he could at least try to find me. I don't know if he ever had that thought, but he certainly could have, because Jacob never showed up. He could have said, why me? Well, what did I do to deserve this? I'm going to make the best of this, and I'll tell you whatever it takes. I'm going to climb my way to the top, and when I get there, I'll show everybody. No. He could have said, where's God in all of this? We know he believed in God. We know he had a trust in God. We know he'd been taught about God. And he could have said, where's God? Why is God doing this to me? Where is he? How about Daniel? Daniel could have said, I'm without my family. I don't have anybody here. I'm on my own. I'm just a young man in a foreign country. I've been taken captive. Why me? Why of all the people did I have to come into this stinking place and live here and suffer all of this? Why'd God let this happen to me? And you're thinking, how many people will hear say things like this? We just talked about it in class this morning. Some of the people talked about people that say things like this. How about Esther? Esther could have said, my father and mother are gone. You know, my uncle, hey, you know, Mordecai might be a good man, but I just don't want to listen to him anymore. You know, I got my own life to live. I'm done. You know, God took my mother and father away from me, and it's just not fair. I didn't ask to be in this situation. Man, I could put myself in some serious trouble if I go out there and, you know, want to be the queen and I have to do all these things and make these decisions. And how am I going to balance my life? I mean, come on. Why do I then have to make such a tough decision? Why me? Why do I have to make a decision and risk my life to save some people who don't even care about me? I mean, I don't even know if they even know me or not. And they had to overcome adverse circumstances. Joseph had hatred in his life. He's sold by his brothers. I mean, not only do they want to kill him, but they sell him to someone else. He's imprisoned. He's made second in command. Daniel, he's taken captive. They try to brainwash him. And then they empower him of all things. And does it go to his head, any of this? Esther, she lost her immediate family. She's in a foreign country and she's made queen. All of these things are, we look at them, those are, take me to a country and make me the second in command or make me in a powerful position. How would I react to all of that? Each had obviously been taught things concerning God. Interestingly enough, when Joseph is tempted by Potiphar's wife, we talk about this a lot, but where in the world did he get this? We don't know how old he is at this point. We don't know how long he's been in the household at this point. He's still a young man. And here he is, things are doing, matter of fact, they're going well considering his circumstance. And here's this woman who says, come and lay with me. Well, he's a good-looking man. He could have used that and he could have said, hey, you know what? I could do well in this. Why, I could work my way up in society with this. How many people have used that to get where they wanted to go and didn't think a thing about it? What does he say? He says, well, I'm in a foreign country. Nobody will know. I mean, God let this happen. Why not? No. He said, how then, he talked about first the husband. He said, there's no one greater. He hasn't kept anything back from me but you. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? How did this young man know that? Because Jacob and his mother, when he was very young, had certainly taught him what God had to say about this. They had instilled in him that there is someone greater than you. Joseph could make a decision about that. Joseph could choose to have faith in God and say, I will not do this. Or he could give in. But he didn't know about God, so he had to make a decision. How about Daniel? Well, Daniel's just a young man. I mean, what's the possibilities here? Well, when we turn to Daniel, we find that Daniel indeed did know about God's will. In verse 4, he's a gifted young man. He certainly knows some things he needs to do. In verse 17, we find that God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom. He understood that. He understood that every natural ability that he had came from God. That's why it's recorded here. He understood where he got everything. He understood that he didn't need to be eating certain things because that's what the law said. He understood in chapter 2, verse 19, that the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision, so Daniel blessed the God of heaven. He did not turn around and say, pat me on the back, look at what I did. I was able to reveal that to you on my own. He knew better than that. In verse 28, He told Nebuchadnezzar. He could have easily said to Nebuchadnezzar, he could have just kept it silent. He could have easily said, well, you know, I've been given this ability, and let's just move on with life. He didn't do that at all. He stood up before the king, the greatest, if you will, human being on the face of the earth at that time, considering his power, that he could put people to death, and he said, there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he's made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in his latter days, your dreams and the visions of your head upon your bed with these. And he tells him not only what the dream meant, but he tells him what the dream was. Now that's impressive, but he gives God the credit. Then as we turn on over it, that doesn't end with that. I could go through several things, but I just wanted to pick out some places. Daniel knows. And when was that instilled in him? When he was young. He had that all instilled in him long before he was ever taken into captivity. He knew about God's will. We can look back at his parents and those around him, and we can appreciate them teaching him what needed to be taught. They didn't teach him the filthy things of life. They taught him the good things of life. And they taught him how to make his life success and how to be what he needed to be and then give God all the credit. And what we find in 6 verse 11, then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication for God. You know why? You know why they found him? They knew the only way they could get him. Here's a man who's living his life the best he possibly can. He's not sinless. Here's a man, though, living his life the best he can, and they knew the only thing that could ever get him on was his relationship with God. And they knew he would put that before country. What do you think about this a moment? When did he learn that? When did he learn God was first? Just now? He just now figured this out? No. Start young. And in 9 verse 4, he understands another thing about his relationship with God. He understands that things are, according to Jeremiah, that this time's about up to be in captivity. As we've talked about, an older man at this time. And what does he say? I prayed to God, O Lord, great and awesome God. And he understood something. Who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments. But he also understood something else about that. That as a result of that law being given, he realized that sometimes he didn't always live it the way he should. What did he say before God? We have sinned. Please forgive us. Here's a young man who didn't come into this at an older age. He wasn't put into captivity because he had been one of those Jews that had misused the law of God and had sinned. He was one of those who had been a good young man, but he's still in captivity. He could have easily let this... But he knew about God's will. How do we know Esther knew it? Well, when you turn to Esther, you find that the word God is never used in it. You'll find that it's never even implied in it, except these ways. How's it implied? Well, in chapter 2, verse 7, we find that Mordecai had brought her up. And what do we know about Mordecai? We know that Mordecai's faith was in the right person. So in Esther 2, verse 7, we find that. What had she learned being brought up by her uncle? Well, she knew that when hard times came, that you can't keep quiet. That when hard times come, you have to stand up for what's right. And so in 4:14, he reemphasizes this to her. Basically, he's saying, haven't I taught you? Don't you understand? For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews. I have told you that God will take care of us, basically. You know that. But you and your father's house will perish, yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. He said, haven't I taught you about the providence of God and how sometimes we're put in positions and we need to use those to God's glory? We also know that she begged that they go fast, and we know that's an implication of her understanding of the law, that if hard times come, tell them, please, for 3 days and nights, don't eat or drink anything, or don't eat anything. And she said, even I'll have my maids do that. And she said, I know something for sure. I will go to the king, which is against the law. Which law are you going to obey? Again, country or God? and 9. Verse 30. And Mordecai sent letters to all the Jews of the 127 provinces of the kingdom of Ahasuerus with words of peace and truth to confirm these days of Purim at their appointed time as Mordecai the Jew and Queen Esther had prescribed for them and as they had decreed for themselves and their descendants concerning matters of the fasting and lamenting. They understood the need to continue, if you will, thanking God, which they have done since that time period, that those Jews were not killed. And each made right decisions. How about Joseph? Joseph made a good decision. Joseph could have said, I'll pay them back. Joseph, I want to emphasize this one more time. Joseph is in a position to do anything he wants to do to his brothers. Anything. You know that he put them in jail for a period of time. You know that he tried his best to get them to think through what they had done. He wants them to be penitent, and he works through that. But he knows in the end he's not going to do anything to them. He knows in the end that he understands what this is all about. He understands in the 47th chapter of Genesis that he has been sent there for a purpose. James may not know, but he may be in a situation one day very similar to this. He may have to make a decision. He may have to decide, is he going to do what's right and proper, regardless of how he's been treated by others? That's what this lesson's about. We all have to make decisions as we go through life, and we continually making those decisions, and we have to decide that. So what did he decide? He decided that he was going to take care of them, and he's going to save his people. We also find out that not just that, but it fulfilled a prophecy that he was given to Abraham. That in that prophecy that he had given to Abraham when God said, I'll give you this land, but there's going to go through a very hard time before this all happens, and they're going to have to sojourn in this land, and darkness is going to come. In doing good for his family, the end result is, over time, it's going to be bad on their descendants. They're going to be in Egypt as slaves. They're going to be mistreated until Moses, the deliverer, takes them out. And this is all in the providence and of God. But it fulfills that prophecy. More importantly, it taught the Egyptians about God. More than once in this occasion, and I'm just going to use one of them. More than once in this, he lets them know about God. He again says, it is not for me in giving Pharaoh's dream. It is not for me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And as a result of all of this, we find that many of them certainly understood about the God of heaven. We don't know how many of them may have changed their lives. The Bible doesn't say. But throughout his life, he did not leave God out. He was not ashamed of his relationship with God. In addition, he himself trusted in God. He believed in God. He told them, look, come near me in chapter 45. I don't want you to be grieved or even angry with yourselves over what you've done. Let's just clear the matter right now. He would tell them again when they get very concerned after Jacob dies, if maybe now he'll kill us. That tells you how they felt about things. They didn't understand how he did. But he said, God sent me before you to preserve life. God. God, in verse 7, sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you on the earth and to save your lives. Verse 8, so now it was not you who sent me here, but God. I understand, he said, the providence of God. I understand what this is all about, and I want to show you how he had faith and confidence. When did Joseph learn all these things? When he was down in Egypt and when he could pull out the Bible and read it? No. Didn't have that opportunity. It was in his mind. He had been taught it. Jacob had sat down and talked to him about it. He's still remembering it when he's 110 years old. Now, I'm sure he had more access to it, some of the things about what God wanted to do after the fact. But what does he remember? He remembers the promise made to Abraham, his great-great-grandfather. He remembers a promise made to his grandfather. He remembers a promise made to his father. They had been talking about what God had planned. And he says, let me tell you about my trust in God. After I'm dead, you take my bones. When you leave here, I believe God. when he said, we will leave this land. When he told Abraham in that prophecy about the dark times, he also said, we're going to be delivered from them. That is tremendous faith. I even want my bones out of here. Don't leave them in Egypt. You know what they did when they left Egypt? They took the bones. How about Daniel? He wouldn't defile himself with the food. We know again, this wasn't because that he just didn't like the food and it didn't taste good. We know that he had a problem with it. In verse 8, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. You don't defile yourself in eating something. The New Testament even talks about we can eat things and we do it for, you know, go ahead and eat it. He said, for conscience sake, don't ask questions sometimes. Now, I know what the application is there. I'm not going to get into it. But in this case, he would have defiled himself if he'd have eaten some of these things because the law of Moses said you can't eat certain things. And those are the types of things they were eating. So he said, just give me some vegetables and some water to drink and I'll be happy. That'll take care of me, because he knew that by doing that, he would never violate God's law. He didn't know with the other. I think it's what the whole thing's about. How would he know what they put on the table? And he knew he couldn't eat certain things. There was a whole line, a whole list of restricted things. Don't take a chance. He wouldn't take credit for his abilities. He would never. He never once said, that's me, pat myself on the back. He wouldn't do it. Like in the New Testament, when Roger talked to us about Ananias and Sapphira, they patted themselves on the back. That's what the whole thing was about. Oh yeah, we gave it all. No, they didn't. You see, the problem is, we're not trying to build ourselves up before human beings. Let's give God the credit for everything. He gives us our abilities, our life, everything. This is, to me, the most amazing thing. This is intense pressure. Picture yourself being taken into another country where you know they're going to indoctrinate you or try to brainwash you into believing their system of not believing in God, of whatever you want to pick. Pick something. And if you don't accept that, there's a good chance you're going to die. Wow, there are people in the world today who do exactly that to each and every one of us. Hasn't changed. But you know what? Instead of letting it change him, he changed them. The most powerful man, if you will, on the face of the earth, Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar gets through with all of this, and in verse 46 of chapter 2, instead of him falling prostrate before the king, I don't know where you've ever realized this or not, King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face, prostrate before Daniel, and commanded that they should present an offering and incense to him. The king answered Daniel and said, truly your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, since you could reveal this secret. That's amazing. That's amazing. All because he stood for what God said. Would he have received the same thing? He might have. But God wouldn't have gotten the glory. Daniel 4. After Nebuchadnezzar goes through this very difficult time and starts to make some changes in his life and look at his life and realize he's not the greatest thing that ever existed on the face of the earth, what happens to him? Because of Daniel, because of the things that he's doing, he says that finally his reason returned to him. And we find that he totally understands something. He said, I lifted up my eyes at the end of this, in verse 34, and my understanding returned to me, and blessed the Most High, and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion. His kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven. And among the inhabitants of earth, no one can restrain his hand or say to him, what have you done? What an amazing thing time takes. But what if Daniel wasn't there? What if Daniel didn't talk to him? What if Daniel had not stood up before Nebuchadnezzar and pronounced the true God of heaven? Would this man have changed to this degree? I have no idea how much he changed, but I do know that Daniel had that effect. With Darius, the same effect in chapter 6. Darius understands this about him, and Darius praises Daniel's God. He says, your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. I'm going to have to throw you in the lion's den because I wrote this decree. But he said, I have confidence and trust in your God. Where did he get that? Was that something that Darius just picked up along the way? No, it's because we know that Daniel told him about God. Now, I realize Daniel's not young now. But he's still talking about God. He hasn't quit. He's 80 plus years old. He's still talking about God. He still will stand up to kings and tell them, I have a God. And my God is the true God. And in 25 through 27, when he comes out of the lion's den, Darius wrote a decree. I've actually given a lesson on this. To all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell on the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble in fear before the God of Daniel. Before the God of Daniel. How did he know about the God of Daniel? Because Daniel told him. For he is the living God, and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. It goes all the way back to Nebuchadnezzar. He understood that. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. But Daniel himself fully trusted in God. He showed it throughout his whole life. He understood God's will. He had read what Jeremiah had written. He had access to what Jeremiah had written, and he understood that Jeremiah said that after the 70 years were over, however, and I've discussed that before, however that worked during that period of time, he understood that time is over. He understood they were going to be released. In Ezekiel 14:14, three men are mentioned. Three men. Three men that we look up to. Three men that we would say were just tremendously good men. It's not the only place they're mentioned in Ezekiel like this, but this is one of the places. Who's listed with them? You got Noah, you have Daniel, and you have Job. Ezekiel's writing at the same time Daniel's alive. He's gone through the same things that Daniel's gone through, but he knew something about Daniel. How did Ezekiel know Daniel? Because Daniel stood up for what was right. There's no doubt throughout that whole kingdom, everyone knew about Daniel. I have no doubt in my mind. How about Esther? She risked her life for others. She could have sat back and said nothing, as we've talked about. She could have just said, okay, you know what? Mordecai, you're on your own. I love you, you're my uncle, but you're asking a little too much here. I could lose my life, period. And then, in addition to that, if I lose my life, there's still nothing going to happen. So why would I do that? Why would I put myself out there? That's good reasoning on my part. I would be thinking something similar to that, but no. No, she goes out and does what she needs to do. She saved her people. She gave them an opportunity to defend themselves by asking the king to make a decree. As a result, those Jews were saved. She saved all of those lives because of her bravery. Because she stood up. She stood between their destruction and the king. And she let him know what's about to happen. And she made sure that all the people were saved. And it says in all the battles that they were able to fight, they won. They were the ones that won. They killed. Now you think about this. You think this king didn't understand about God? He allowed this to happen in his kingdom. A king who had taken over, or was over the known world at the time, as a Persian. And as a Persian, he understood the need to maintain control. And what does he allow? He allows these Jews to defend themselves. And how do we know this actually happened? Because they still celebrate it today. That they stood up and fought. But many turned to God. I want you to turn to chapter 8. Something we might gloss over sometimes, but in 15 through 17, there's something given here that should impress every one of us. Because of the faith of this woman. Now, we know Mordecai had tremendous faith. And Mordecai was doing everything he possibly could. But he is totally dependent on what she's able to do at this point. He believes they'll still be delivered, but he wants this to happen. Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal apparel, a blue and white. This is after he's been honored. With a great crown of gold and a garment of the fine linen and purple, and the city of Shushan rejoiced and was glad. The Jews had light and gladness, joy and honor. And in every province and city, wherever the king's command and decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a holiday. Then many of the people of the land became Jews because fear of the Jews fell upon them. How do you become a Jew? You just suddenly say, I want to change the nationality? No. To become a Jew, you have to agree to what the Mosaical law said. These people turned to God because of her. And again, as a result, the feast was established. We know she trusted in God. She believed that if they would fast, that God would help her through this, that God would take care of this, and He was greater than the king. So who am I? Just some things to think of. I will not follow a multitude to do evil. I will not take the easy path of sin. It takes absolutely no courage to go along with it. People in sin. None. I will stand for God against all odds. I will make a difference in my life. I will make a difference in others' lives. You see, it's not just important that I make a difference in my own life, but I need to express that to others. I will not let evil rule over me. I want to be in God's book of life. If ever I had my name anywhere, and okay, so the first man we talked about, he has, I don't know how many Emmys had. He's passed from his life. What does that mean now? That's not eternal. God's book of life is. I want to be a Joseph, an Esther, or a Daniel, don't you? I want to be a blessing from God, not a curse to everyone. I want to save my soul. I want to help others, or save others as well, help them save themselves. I'm sure none of these young people started out thinking they would change their world. Would you have, in those circumstances they were in, would you have ever thought that the end result would be what it was? They probably asked themselves something similar to what David asked, "Who am I?" They had to reach deep with themselves, put their faith and trust in God, and act with courage. These are not just stories. These are, if we could fully understand what they did, we would change our own lives. It would not have taken any courage to go along with the crowd. None. They could have just fallen right in with them. But it takes courage to stand for God, to stand against our friends sometimes and do what is right every time. Question, are you willing to make a difference? Who are you? Who are you? You can only look at yourself and then say, I am someone that God has created. And as someone once told me a long time ago, God don't make no junk. I know that's a double negative, but that's what it said. God does not make junk. God makes us to be something important. It's up to us if we want to be or not. Will you stand with and for God or fall for everything that Satan sends your way? Today, make a difference in your life. Let God take control. See, that's what we need to do. It's so easy to just turn it over to Him and let Him do it. Become His child today. If you have any needs, please, let us assist you. We're going to stand and sing a song.